Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today's episode of Tales of What is sponsored by Babu691. Babu691 is your gateway to the weird and wonderful. This online magazine celebrates the surreal and the bizarre in literature, film, art, and more. Babu. You'll find the latest on bizarro fiction, Babu. Interviews, Babu. Humor, Babu. The history of surrealism, Babu. And the weird in all its many forms. Have an idea for an article? Babu691 is open for queries and submissions, so check them out at babu691.com. That's babou691.com.
Babu.
Today we're going to try something a little different. Today we are not going to violate the collective unconscious of our impure thoughts. Today we are not going to imprint our unresolved psychological trauma on our pet gerbils. And today we are not going to sully the time stream with our ego-flavoured gas leaks. No. Today we are going to soothe our souls. Today we are going to heal our chakras. Today I'm going to give you a guided meditation. I've never done this before, so I'll go easy on you if you promise to go easy on me. Wink at microphone. So start by finding a comfortable position for all of your action figures. Close your blinds, sit down gently, shut your eyes, and take a deep breath. Hold it in for 3 seconds, starting from now. 1, 2, 3. Exhale for 2 seconds. 1, 2, and surprise, another second. 3. In for 3, 2, 1, and exhale. 2, 1. Try to relax your body, your mind, your ears, your pinkies. Now, do as I do. Relax your hands and open your third eye. Allow yourself to float away. Become something else. Picture your mind not as you, but as something else separate from you. Picture your mind as somebody else entirely. Your mind has a job. Your mind has bills to pay. Your mind works for an IT company that provides solutions for people with technology-related problems. Your mind is a middle-aged man called Lester Turnflake. Lester eats breakfast cereal 3 times a day. Lester is overweight, balding, and is overwhelmed with cringe memories every time he thinks about the time he slipped into a bin on his first day of work, and everybody laughed because the bin got stuck there and he had to call out the fire department to cut him out. Lester is sad. Lester is alone. He works inside a small box in the dark, hunched over a tiny laptop with only 2 buttons. All day he squints his eyes as he reads tiny emails written in tiny fonts with a magnifying glass. He then types out his replies with the two keys, an arrow key and an enter key. He has to cycle through every letter, every character to find the right one before hitting enter. And being that the keys are so small, the size of peanuts, he often types in the incorrect key and has to start all over again. Lester works 40-hour days. Lester has no wife, no children, no fridge. Lester has nowhere to keep his milk cold. Lester sometimes wants to kill himself. Lester eats breakfast cereal 3 times a day. Lester eats breakfast cereal 3 times a day. One day, Lester comes into the office and there's a new person working in the box next to his. It's the hyper entity. Now, picture a person, doesn't matter who. Imagine you could see that person at every moment of their life in one continuous stream, one long trail from birth to death, a pink tentacle of existence. To look at that person in any given moment, they would look just like that, a person. But to look at them across time, they'd look more like a snake. Now follow that snake back to its tail, to the person's birth as they disappear up and into their mother. And then that mother also goes up and into their mother, and so on and so on. Everybody does. Every human being to ever have existed is stitched together across time and space into a great fabric of existence, a great tentacled beast. Now consider each individual human being the same way a human being might consider a single blood cell. A blood cell doesn't know what it's doing, doesn't know that it's part of a much larger entity. And in that same sense, no one person knows that they exist within this creature that exists across not only space but time. A fourth dimensional hyper entity. Well, the hyper entity is called David Higgleston. And he's just started working at the office, in the box next to your mind, Lester Turnflake. The hyper entity David Higgleston seems nice. He waves at Lester every morning with a tentacle made of humans and time, and Lester waves back. Lester doesn't like anybody in that office other than the hyper entity David Higgleston. The hyper entity David Higgleston listens to Christopher Nolan soundtracks as he works. Lester likes Christopher Nolan movies, and so Lester likes the hyper entity, David Higgleston. One afternoon, after work, the hyper entity David Higgleston invites Lester out for dinner, and Lester says he can't because he's eaten too much breakfast cereal. But the hyper entity David Higgleston says, no problem. How about heading to a poetry club instead? Lester doesn't know what a poetry club is, but being that his fingers are aching from tapping keys all day and being that his eyeballs are bleeding from squinting at teeny tiny emails all day, he says okay, he could use some outside time. Lester and the hyper entity David Higgleston head to a place called Big Poetry Little Club. Inside there are only 2 seats, one for Lester and one for the hyper entity David Higgleston. They sit down, they watch the stage as the first poet comes on. The poet is you, your body anyway. Your mind, Lester, and the hyper entity David Higgleston watches your body, taps the microphone before starting its first poem. Hello, your body says. This poem is called Like I'm Pastry. Sometimes, my cat pushes his paws into my skin. It's like he's kneading me, like I'm dough, like I'm pastry. It's cute until he goes into the kitchen and preheats the oven. Lester nods. The hyper entity David Higgleston holds a tentacle across his heart and says, I really felt that one. Your body sips from a glass of water, clears its throat, continues. This next poem is called bad girl. I came home one day to find my dog, her tail tucked, her head down, ashamed. Riverdale on the TV. The hyper entity David Huggleston claps and Lester joins in. Beautiful. Just beautiful, Lester says, weeping. This next poem is called Me. My house is full of astronauts, floating up by the ceilings, gathering by the light fixtures, helmets tapping light bulbs, moon shoes dangling, whispering insults to the only non-astronaut in the house. Me. The hyper entity David Huggleston stands and bangs his foot, which is actually the entire existence of several thousand human beings, loudly on the floor. Now Lester stands too. Together they stomp with appreciation. Lester holds one of the hyper entity David Huggleston's fingers in his hands. Your body continues. This poem is called Is It Me? Every time I see a dog outside, it starts shitting. Is it me? Am I doing it? Lester and the hyper entity David Huggleston kick their chairs out of the way and begin to twirl in the middle of the dance floor, staring deeply into one another's eyes. Oh God, says the hyper entity David Huggleston. I know, says Lester. Your body watches as Lester and the hyper entity David Huggleston pull each other close and begin to kiss passionately in the middle of the poetry club floor. They kiss for hours, melt into one another. Your body, who is also the owner of the poetry club, cleans the bar, sweeps and mops the floor, and then locks up, drops the shutters, leaves Lester and the hyper entity David Huggleston in the darkness, in their thrusting spaghetti embrace. Your body, feeling like it's put something positive out into the world, decides to walk home. It's nice outside, warm. The stars are out, the moon is large. Your body is having a nice walk when it sees the computer from episode 3 of this season of Tales of What on the floor, all shot up, placed down by the bins. Your body picks it up, takes it home, then down into the computer workshop your body has in its basement. There it solders the broken wires, replaces the broken cables, brings the computer back online. The computer speaks, and your body listens. Do you ever hear the sound of your mother's voice? Not the mother of today, but the one from your childhood. You could be doing anything. Be it food shopping, walking the dog, writing an email, filling up the car with petrol. And from somewhere you'd hear the faintest sound. And it's her from way back when. In the exact same intonation, her voice only just reaching you. She shouts from somewhere over rooftops and through alleyways and from 1993. From the first house I remember living in. The house at the bottom of the cul-de-sac. That sound is etched into the inner rings of my brain tree. And I know that it's a trick of the mind. A similar sound, a creaking door, squeaky wheel, something. Might have just enough in common to unlock that oral memory and make me look like a dumbass. I hear it, and I stop what I'm doing, and I remember, and then I get on with my day. It's the same every time. And part of me wonders, though, and a sad and pathetic kind of wonder, what if maybe next time I hear her calling, what if I just go home? Not the home of now, but the home of then. Maybe I'll drive back the many miles to that county, to that village, to that cul-de-sac. Maybe I'd drive through the decades and the days and the minutes, and I would find my mum of then standing at the door, shaking her head at how dirty I was, how late I was, how old I'd gotten. She'd be my mum, of course. So I think she tutted the state of me as she sent me upstairs, straight into the bath where I'd wash away the years from my kneecaps like it was only dirt. I'd clean out the heartaches from behind my ears, dig out the depression from under my fingernails, shampoo away the shameful years. I'd kiss my mum and dad goodnight, and I'd go to bed clean of what will come, and I'll dream of what may happen, and I'll live out that everlasting childhood I thought I was due. Like I said, it's a sad and pathetic kind of wonder. I can't help it. Maybe one day I'll hear her calling and I'll go back. Maybe one of these days I'll go home. Your body turns the computer off. Your body goes to bed. Your body closes its eyes. Your body breathes in for 3, 2, 1. Your body exhales for 3, 2, 1. Now, open your eyes.